Well, situation report for Sunday, April 6th. I thought I'd do a quick sit rep just so everybody, well, I had a bunch of feedback from last week's sit reps. So I did the situation updates and posted those. And if I go on mute, it's because I'm coughing. So just to, you know, forewarn everybody. I got spammed yesterday because of the protests, et cetera, et cetera. So let me address the protest and let me address what you're seeing. First of all, most of those protests yesterday were organized and paid for by the Soros groups and the NGOs that are funded by Soros and Act Blue. Remember that if you go back to the Floyd riots, they're trying to recreate the Floyd riots in Trump's first term. And they're not going to have the ability to do the same type of protests or the same type of mobilization. Simply put, everybody sees through it now. Even the left sees through it. The only people they could get there is the extreme left and the paid actors. And it's a one-time gig, right? Because they don't have USAID, because they don't have the other agencies to draw from and to use public dollars, they can't move people and operatives around like they did before. This took them 2 weeks to put together. And because of that, they're having a tougher and tougher and tougher and tougher time getting people mobilized and into the field. And those protests, for the most part, were relatively disorganized. If you look at the messaging, they're all over the place. You have the hardcore believers that are like, we need to execute Donald Trump. They can't tell you why they're upset. They can't tell you what they're mad about. Why he's a bad dude. But he needs to go. We need oppression back. We need taxation back. We need the old regime back because they were so much better. Orange man bad. That's the lingering effects of the really effective information campaign that was played in his first term. But it doesn't have the same reach it did before, right? To be effective at this game, you got to refresh the bullshit and keep it freshly packaged and well. A growing number of people are starting to figure out that this regime is exactly the same as the last regime with a different dress. The same messaging, the same information, the same inaction, the same delay, the same slow burn that it was before. It's just a different dress. Absolutely the same messaging. In fact, if you go back to BLM, racism, you have to be anti-racism. Now they're saying you'd be anti-Semitism. It's the same shit, played the same way. And look, everybody's figured out that the city of London and Israel control the new regime. Have they arrested anybody? No, but you're seeing more and more influencers and people on social media starting to turn the volume up for some kind of action. America is not a Bill Barr times two. And if you go back to the start, just before the Civil War, go back and look at what happened at the national level and what was going on with commerce. And you will see a lot of similarities to then and now. Just like if you go back to the Revolutionary War, you will see the same thing. Commerce, national level actions, and resentment. And then if you fast forward to the Great Depression, you will see the same pattern of events. It's the same script. They've been playing over and over and over again, but it's not going to play this time because more and more people are starting to see the truth. And the truth is, Trump made a deal, or Trump was coerced. I don't even care anymore which of the two it is. But if you go back to the convention, you can see who he was aligned to back then. That's who put him in office. If you go back even farther than that, and you go back to 2020 through 2024, there is no statistical way he could have won the election. even with a landslide vote, because they had institutionalized all the mechanism to allow them to cheat with a significant margin and then convince the population that it was a free and fair election. Why didn't they do that? Same shit, the same way. So my point of saying all this is that you're being played. And, you know, I'm going to go back to something I said a couple of days after the election in November. I was pretty disoriented by the rapid change of the narrative. And it's almost as if the narrative was being reformed because they literally didn't know what to do to message the public. And then you saw these influencers and these media figures flying down to Mar-a-Lago to kiss the ring. It's almost as if they were all told, you're going to go down, you're going to kiss the ring, and you're going to make nice. At the day, we saw a rapid change in the narrative, which is not how influencing operations go. And it's not how you change messaging after you've influenced for so long. They were influencing us for 8 years that Orange Man is bad and that everything he touches is evil. And they stopped overnight after the election. That is not how the game's played. And when you look at frantically trying to reset the narratives and reset the information campaign. And you know what they've done since then? They've stumbled. And, you know, I would love to say that Luongo's right and this is a dick waving contest between elites in the city of London and in New York, but I don't see that. What I see is a regime that is on course to do the first regime was on course to do, the Biden regime, which is establish a technological control grid, which is what they're doing, and to reset the currency and move us towards a stable coin or a digital dollar, which is what they're doing. They're even talking about it. And on top of that, the fact that nobody's been arrested is starting to erode Trump's base. And I've been hammering the guy in social media. I said, so don't say I didn't say this. I told everyone after the election, when this guy screws up, I'm going to hammer the fuck out of him on social media. He's not getting any breaks this time because I didn't vote for Make Israel Great Again. In fact, I'm sick of the whole Israel narrative, sick of it, to the point where I see it now and I'm just disgusted by it. And it's the same narrative the liberals use. Yeah, we could do violent shit. We can hurt Republicans. We can hurt conservatives because that's our God-given right to protest, but don't hurt us. That sounds exactly like what Eric Weinstein said. And the reason why it pissed me off is the fact that there's this narrative now that they're going to pass laws about anti-Semitism. Go back to the Civil War, just prior to the start of the Civil War, and tell me if you don't see any similarities. It's the exact same script. And it's not going to play this time. It's not going to be a Civil War. It's going to be a revolution. Again and again and again. When this kicks off, how it kicks off, when it kicks off, I don't care anymore. Because this time we're going all the way back to Europe and we're going to eradicate every single one of the European pedophiles that have propagated this for generations. They all need to go. All the old families, the 13, you know, the 13 families or the 300 or whatever you want to call them, go. Their 15 minutes at the mic are up. And what Trump hasn't done since he came into office is hasn't ended the war in Ukraine, hasn't held anyone accountable. No one from the FBI has been fired. I mean, no one. They should be wholesale cleaning that place out right now. Now, there's this post about Kash Patel promoting guy that was supposedly hunting down January 6th. I don't know if that's real. I don't know how much of that's real. I don't know how much of that is conjecture. I don't know, right? I don't take anything on Twitter at face value until it's confirmed somewhere else. But we're seeing a lot of moves by the administration that don't support the U.S. And I'm not talking about tariffs. Tariffs are a negotiation strategy. Trump realizes he's got to balance the trade. He's got to set conditions so he can bring industry back here. And the only way to do that is to hit countries that are subsidizing their industry, which the Europeans and the Chinese and the Russians have done forever. Why do you think the United Auto Workers moved most of their plants into Canada? Because it was too expensive here, labor-wise. The United Auto Workers and the Boeing Machinist Union, they fucking priced themselves out of the market. Oh, we deserve $150,000 a year for fucking pounding rivets. No, you don't. It was doing to fuck them over and realize what we need is less taxation. We need living, you know, expensive raises that drive us to ask for more money. And oh, by the way, we need to have a step process. You know, guys that used to, everybody I know that works at Boeing, they're living large, man. They live fat. And they're the, most of them bitch and piss and moan. And look, I was at Boeing for all of 3 days. I couldn't make it past 3 days. And I was there on a contract. I was actually there as a consultant. And I walked into this meeting. There this meeting, fucking people on the phone. And around the back of the room were all these SMEs, these subject matter experts. Let me tell you what these fucking nutsacks do. First of all, these guys are legacy experts at a system that should have been retired 100 years prior to them even starting at Boeing. But it's still in service because it's proprietary and Boeing needs it for some part of some obscure piece of some airplane that's still in production. But these guys are subject matter experts. And their whole job is to walk into a meeting and fucking torpedo any kind of new idea. So they were working on the online maintenance manuals for the 78. It's called Toolbook. And they literally started the meeting with the software that we have only has two concurrent connections. It can only handle two connections at a time. Okay. If you know anything about an airline, every airplane comes with basically a warehouse full of manuals. And they have hundreds of airplanes in service at any one time. Hundreds. And you're telling me that you can only handle two airplanes at a time, served up slowly? Yeah, that ain't going to work. And so I raised, and they say, well, we're going to have to buy all this equipment, load balance, set up all these servers. And I raised my hand. And I went, why don't you just fucking fix the software? The software can only have two concurrent connections. Fix the fucking software. And then virtualize it and put instances out. So you have multiple instances of it running on the same server. So you're not taxing your load balancers and your firewalls. I was gone the next day. And it's because some subject matter expert in the back dictated that if you have more than X connections against this software, which has to reference this other fucking antique software, then it'll tip over the antique software, which probably only had one query to it a year anyway. That's how fucking retarded they are. And they can't get past themselves. And I don't know where the fuck I was going with that. I was going somewhere with it, lost my train of thought. The Trump administration, though, to try and get back on track here, they've lost their way. And they're trying to fix commerce. They're trying to put out threats to bring people to the table to negotiate reasonable tariffs and to bring onshore production back. It's a tall order. All the noise you see that's out in the news about tariffs are bad, blah, blah, blah. You know what? Tariffs are not bad. It's a mechanism for controlling cost, is what it is. It's a mechanism for keeping the trade in balance sorted out. And there's a number of mechanisms they can use, including tariffs, to balance the trade deficits. So we have wildly imbalanced trade deficits, and we have for years, and we as the American public have paid the freight in addition to everything that we've done through USAID, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm not paying any attention to that. I'm not paying any attention to what's going on with any of the rhetoric around that. Just like I'm not paying attention to these protests. They're not going to gain traction. People aren't just going to take to the streets. And here's why. There's a wide swath of people, both blue collar and white collar, that are right at the edge of poverty right now and across this party lines. And everybody's watching them, right? Oh, and I remember my thought now about the Boeing machinist unit, why that's the whole system's fucked up. And I'll get back to that in a second. But the depression that we're in, the recession, whatever you want to call it, I'm going to call it a depression. It crosses party lines, right? It's hitting tech, it's hitting industry, and it's hitting service all across the board. And then you add to it the rising costs of everything. Have you bought meat lately? I bought meat today. I bought a roast and a steak, and it was $150 from my butcher. And I support the woman because she's got a locally owned business. And, you know, part of the doctrine that I've been spreading for the last 5 years is to support local businesses. And that's what I'm doing. I'm staying true to the thing that I'm, you know, preaching to everybody else. And there's a lot of local businesses here that I support for that reason. Does it cost me more? Yeah, it costs me a shitload more. But I would rather see them stay in business than the Krogers and some of the rest who are all political assholes. 1 second. Sorry about that. So as part of my sphere of influence, I'm supporting the locals as much as I possibly can, because that's what's going to see us through that, is local business and local craftsmen, right? And, you know, Matt Bracken has been pushing that people should go seek a trade. I agree. You know, I took a lot of shit when I told people I was going to gunsmith school. And I was going to go do gunsmith school first, and then I was going to go do A&P and learn how to do airframe and power plants so I could work on my own airplane. But I just didn't have 2 years I could take off work, right? But I would do it in a heartbeat because it's a two-year program. And, you know, I've always been one of those guys that's tinkered with old trucks and old cars forever, right? In fact, you know, my girls are into old stuff now too, so it is what it is, right? But the point is if you have a trade in addition to whatever your white collar is, you can do stuff. You could barter for stuff through services, because people are going to need stuff fixed when the economy blows up. And the economy is going to blow up at some point. They may be able to manipulate it to a certain time, but at some point it's going to come crashing down, and they're probably not going to have a good answer for it. So, and then let me get back to the machinist union. Part of the reason why Trump is using the tariffs the way he is, and part of the reason why he's using the threats he is that he needs to bring down the cost of production here to a reasonable level so he can compete with the subsidies overseas and make up for that by charging them higher tariffs, which is exactly why he's doing it to China. So China can't dominate take our resources, which they have a lot of resource rights here, as well as a lot of land here, and then take it back overseas, build cheap shit, and then send it over here and go past all of our tariffs. He's trying to bring that production here. At the same time, he's trying to leverage the different unions here to come back to a realistic rate scale, right? And look, the rate scale for security guys has already gone down, right? The jobs that used to pay $250,000, $300,000 a year, they're down to $200,000. They've come down a full $100,000. And that matters when you're looking at the cost of goods, both sold and the cost of materials coming in. And at the same time, you're also worried about labor costs. While he's doing all that, he's letting the blue states implode. Let them blow up. Because those, in my mind, the revolution isn't going to start in a red state. It's going to start in a blue state. When the people in blue states figure out that they have pedophile lunatics running their states, and they finally realize that they've been taxed out of their own place, they're going to want somebody to be held accountable. And there's a lot of people that have lost their homes already. You just don't hear about it. That's going to come home to roost in a very short time. And how that's going to affect Trump is, Trump's created an existential crisis for himself, and he doesn't even realize it. That's the part that kills me. He doesn't even have a clue. He doesn't have the first fucking clue how pissed off his base is right now. 76 days in office, no arrests. And then you got fucking Bill Barr 2 Barbie sitting on media talking about, oh, we're going to go after all these people that are destroying Teslas. Bitch, arrest somebody. Start with Obama. His birth certificate's bullshit. He had how many scandals? The guy lied under oath. How many different things do you need to see before you get off your ass? America is not going to stand for anything less than accountability. What part of that did you miss? And that's literally the rhetoric that's going across social media right now. And you would think that they would be paying attention to it. But they're completely divorced from reality. Completely. And that's going to come home to roost too. Trump's going to have a revolution on his hand by the end of his term, and he will be the most despised president in American history. And here's the other thing that's interesting that I'm starting to see bubble up to the surface on social media. There's a lot of people starting to question whether or not what happened to him in Pennsylvania was a staged event. And God forbid that come out. Imagine the backlash against him if it comes out that those people that were killed in the audience were killed as just bystanders so they could make it look more dramatic. Imagine what his base will do if that is true. And I've seen several posts now with that very rhetoric showing up. And look, it could be opposition propaganda. It could be AI doing it. But the point is, it's like a sales meeting. When you're sitting across the table from a prospective client and you make a claim about something that's not true, it doesn't matter who said it. What they hear across the table becomes gospel. And it doesn't matter if it's true or not, it becomes gospel. And when it does, you're held accountable for that. And I can tell you unequivocally that he made the claim that he has a scar in his ear, blah, blah, blah. And if people think otherwise and they prove otherwise, Donald Trump's legacy over in one nanosecond, over. And even Mike Adams is starting to say some of the things that I've said over the past few weeks, which I think is amazing, because when I talked about belief systems bias, possibility versus probability, and adjusting the way you're looking at the world based on factual information, and how they play your bias and your belief system against you when it comes to propaganda and information operations, it's very interesting to see that even Mike Adams is starting to realize that this regime is doing the exact same thing the last one did. Like, have they repealed Smith-Munn? Have they repealed the Patriot Act? Have they repealed the SAFE Act? Have they repealed anything? No. Congress is still doing exactly what they were doing before. Nothing. And what kills me is they had a congressional hearing about JFK and brought in a bunch of relics from the 60s and 70s to talk about JFK. They didn't bring anybody new in. They didn't bring any new information. It's like they're stuck in a script in the 60s and they can't get out of it because there's no new blood in the system to help them. That's why I say it's going to fail. And when it fails, people are going to want accountability because they're watching. And I know people right now, the guys I work with, the guys are multimillionaires. They're like literally watching all of their investments erode and crumble. And I got guys that are like, dude, I got maybe two paychecks left and I'm done. If I lose my job, I'm screwed. And you know, I'm in a similar boat. But the point is that there's a lot of people that are struggling right now. And the difference between now and 2008 is, 2008, nobody was held accountable. And Americans remember that, especially Americans who lost their houses. The number of short sales that took place back then to, like, case in point, there was at least five foreclosures on the block that I lived on. And the banks came in, they took the houses, and they sat on them. They didn't turn the inventory around, they sat on them. And the house is decayed. Then they paid crews to come in when the market was coming back. And they paid crews to come in, clean up the houses, rented some of them, flipped others, and offloaded some of the inventory. But they restrained the inventory so that there wasn't a lot of inventory for people to buy. And as the market started growing that they were pumping, the prices started to ratchet up. That's why we have million-dollar homes right now where houses should be $500,000 or $600,000. Which are 1.5 or 1.6, like Washington State and Oregon, completely ridiculous. Who can afford $1.8 million for a fucking three-bedroom, 1,500-square-foot house sitting on a quarter acre? Ridiculous. Completely overpriced. And it's because the bankers manipulated the market, which, by the way, is a crime, and nobody was held accountable for it. Everybody that was affected by that remembers that. And now, when this goes full circle and comes full circle, the point that I've been trying to make, that Troop's been trying to make, I've been trying to make, Bracken's been trying to make, is very simply this. There's going to be a point in time where the cost of going along with their system is more painful than losing your life. And when you get to that point, you're going to take the gloves off. And that's why I've been asking since 2020, what is your line in the sand? What is the one thing they take away from you that's going to make you pick up arms? I already know what mine is. They fuck with my kids and the gloves are coming off and they'll see something new. And I know all of you have a line in the sand. You burn that into your fucking soul because that day is coming. And if we're watching anything right now, we're watching the meltdown of the core moral fiber of our country across the planet as well. And it's only a matter of time before the powder keg goes off. And same thing's going to happen in Ireland. Same thing's going to happen in UK. And it's going to be ugly in those countries because they're not armed. But we are. And I don't know if you've been tracking the price of ammo, but the tariffs are taking effect in the ammo market now. And people haven't been paying attention to any of the ammo markets either, because most of the ammo producers, including Lake City, their production has been curtailed for the civilian market. Several others have been sold to overseas firms, which means overseas firms are controlling the output and the input, which means ammo was going to get expensive anyway. It's already way more expensive than it was when I started doing this. In fact, 1,000 rounds of 5.56 was $200 when we started this. And now it's almost $500. And it's going to go higher. It'll be $600 for 1,000 rounds of 5.56. So that's going to be the initial cost of both the tariffs as well as a retaliation from the tariffs. So all of those things matter. But it's a necessary evil to reset the system, right? All of us are going to feel pain, but the pain can't be felt only to watch the elite profit and a few people at the very top get richer. That game's not going to play this time. Too many people are watching and too many people are angry about 2008 and the last 8 years. There's just not going to be any room left for that. And it's very reminiscent of where we were at the start of the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, and at the end of the Great Depression. Great Depression was different, though, because that was all economic. This is all kinetic. And it's kinetic because we have put ourselves in a position now where, and I'm not going to say we put ourselves, the elite have put themselves in a position now where they can't obfuscate and delay accountability for people. And the problem that they have, again, another existential crisis, is they have compromised so many people that it's only going to take one person or two people to start singing like a songbird in social media, which they will do. And guess what? The whole house of cards comes crumbling down and then the shooting starts. That's the crisis they've created for themselves. They're not going to be able to tap dance their way through this. They're not going to be able to do the slow burn. And the tell is not in what the rhetoric is coming out of the administration. The tell is what the rhetoric is coming out of social media. Just look at how RFK is getting skewered every day. His whole base is like, we put you there to ban mRNA. You got there, and now you're talking about anti-Semitism. That's not why we put you there. So why don't you go to work and do what we told you to do, which is what I said yesterday. Took the oath, do your job. All of us took the oath. All of us are willing to sacrifice our lives. We put our lives on the line, many of us. What makes you different? You take the oath, you do the job, even if it costs you your life. That's the deal. And that's what his base is saying to him. And it literally is the noise level is starting to get loud. So I wouldn't pay attention to all the rhetoric and noise coming out of the administration. I don't care about tariffs. I don't care about protests. I don't care about the S&P 500. I don't give a shit about any of that. I care about somebody getting arrested. I care about not starting a war with Iran. I care about the Ukraine war ending. I care about Israel being held to account for what they've done in Gaza. I care about what legislation is being passed in Washington. And most importantly, I care about the currency. What is going on with the currency? All the noise we're hearing is to draw our eye line off of that. And all you have to do is watch social media and you can see how easy it is for them to draw our eye line. I'm laser focused on that. And I don't see anything happening with mRNA. Why? Because Big Pharma kissed the ring and Trump is too much of a fucking coward. Let me say it again, because I know the Trump people are listening to me. He's too much of a fucking coward to admit he was wrong about warp speed, admit that the vaccines are a bioweapon, and be accountable. We've seen him play this game time and time again. You don't get to blame anybody else after doubling down, Mr. President. You doubled down. Now your base wants you to do what we put you in office to do. Ban the fucking mRNA vaccines. They're toxic, they're deadly, and they're killing Americans. Do your fucking job, gutless coward. This, by the way, is why I'm not in the administration, because I don't have a filter to deal with that stupidity. And the only thing I hate worse than a fucking coward is a grifter. I can't do grifters at all. These are people that look for ways in everything they do to fuck people over. I can't stand those people. And you know who I'm talking about. You either work with one, there's one in your family, there's one in your extended family, one in your friend circle. They're just fucking grifting shitbags. Every single one of them. And they make your stomach turn every time they open their mouth because it's always about how can I get over. Like I had one of those guys I worked with, he's a lieutenant colonel. It drove me fucking crazy. We were deployed not quite to Iraq. And we were sitting there and he's like, we should go do this you know, 4-star hotel here. We could charge it through, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, bitch, we're going into country tomorrow. What the fuck is wrong with you? We're in a nice enough hotel. We're only here 24 hours. And you want to go get a better hotel? Really? I was so incensed. Like, no focus on the mission. No focus on the fact that we're trying to go clean up malware that's infected the entire fucking country. He's more worried about getting into a 4-star hotel and getting over on the travel expenses. Like, I looked at him and I'm like, if I hear any of this shit in country, I'll shoot you myself. That's what we're here. We're here to help the people on the ground that are dying because we can't get any communications going across any of our networks. And we don't have secure comms. And you're worried about a 4-star hotel. You're fucking retarded. But that's the level of people that we're dealing with right now. And look, they all swore an oath to Israel when they went into the regime. Just go listen to the rhetoric before they all took their post. Seriously, go listen to it. Go listen to Pam Bondi before and Pam Bondi after. And you will see at some point in that string, her saying we have to support Israel at all costs. That was the mantra. They all said it. Even Flynn said it. And he wasn't invited in. And now he's saying, we need to hold people accountable. That sounds familiar. So you're seeing the backlash grow. And that backlash is going to grow into a dull roar. And then it's going to be a tidal wave. And it's too bad, really. Because the same people that started all this are going to be the same people that start the revolution that lead to their downfall. And it's the next order of battle as far as I see it. I could be wrong. I would love to be wrong and see the system crash and things get reset. But the system's so corrupt and there's so many evil players in it. There's just no way to reset the system without some kind of kinetic taking place. I don't live in the dream world of, you know, everything's going to be fixed by this guy. I didn't have that dream in the first place. You know, I said, I'm going to play along, take things at face value until I can. And that was like 10 days after he took office and I started seeing what he was doing. And the fact that he's moving towards kinetic with Iran. Yeah, that's not going to play well with space. And it's not going to help anybody going into the military. The other thing is, I haven't heard anything about the next pandemic. They've moved off of that, which means that that's still sitting out there too. And I'm hearing rumblings about it, but we'll see. At the end of the day, though, don't take your eye line off of the stuff that matters. Because they're going to try their hardest to keep your eye line off of the fact that they're not arresting anybody. They're not holding anybody accountable. They're not. And by the way, have you seen the spending packages that they proposed? $5 trillion. I thought the idea was to cut the budget, to cut entitlements, and to cut government spending, not double down like Reagan did. I mean, I've seen a lot of the same shit that Reagan did. Like, we're going to double down and outspend ourselves on all of this military tech that we don't need. But that's exactly what they're doing right now. So, I look, where I'm going with this is, and the reason why I did this sit rep today is, you're starting to see Trump's base erode. That's going to continue at a faster and faster pace as the days go by with no accountability. And there won't be any token arrests that's going to placate or satiate the base. The base wants to see the entire Obama clan, the Clinton clan, the Bushes, and all the rest rolled up. And if Pam Bondi isn't going to do it, then she needs to be replaced and somebody needs to be put in place that's going to do it. Because if they don't do it, it's going to be a revolution. That's how mad Americans are. Americans have had enough. And again, I've said this before, it's going to be like a light switch is flipped and people are going to stop paying attention to it and they're going to go start going after people. I think it's like, again, I think it's going to start in the blue states, because the shit that they're passing just in Washington state alone, it's fucking ridiculous. And they're doing the same shit in Colorado and California. They're doubling down on reparations. They're doubling down on parental rights. If you're a parent, I want to ask you a question. If you live in a blue state right now, what thing are they going to take away from you that's going to either make you leave the state or pick up arms? Because I can tell you that in Washington state, they just passed a law that they don't have to tell you if your child was molested by a teacher. I don't know about you, but if a teacher molests my child and I have no legal recourse, that motherfucker is going to have a really, really bad night. And on the other end of that, look at what they're doing to 2A. They've basically stripped away the ability to have high-capacity magazines, and they've stacked the courts and the federal courts with all these liberal judges. Just look at what they're doing with the Trump. You're not going to get any relief in court. So at what point do you pick up arms? And what is the one thing they take away from you? And while I'm on the topic, why the fuck are you still in a blue state? If they've made it completely unaffordable. Like, the gas tax in Washington state was 50 cents when I left, per gallon. I was paying 50 cents more per gallon than everybody else in the country. And now they're talking about $1 or $2 to get the price up to like $5 or $6. They haven't fixed the homeless problem. They haven't fixed the transportation problem. That's a fucking mess. They haven't fixed any of the spending problems. That's a fucking mess. They've overregulated industry, and they've moved businesses out of Seattle. Basically, icons in the entire city are leaving at a breakneck pace because they've been taxed to the point where they can't operate, with not only the soda tax, the minimum wage tax, now there's the property taxes, which are like 60%. At what point do people pick up arms and say, we've had enough? And it's not just the city council, it's the city council and the state legislature. And if you're a Republican in Washington state, my only thing for you is you're fucking cowards, all of you. You cunts have allowed these guys to do this shit, and all you've done is bitch and piss and moan for 10 years. I stood in front of you assholes in 2016 and said, if you don't get a handle of this, they're going to institutionalize the cheating, and there's never going to be another Republican fucking governor in this state. And guess what happened? They institutionalized the changes, and they cheat their asses off. And there's no legal recourse. And they even made it blatantly obvious for you retards. They put a red and a blue checkbox on the outside of the envelope saying, knew which ones to throw away. And you fucking retard sat there and complained about it for over a year before you finally filed a legal injunction, you fucking idiots. My God, you don't get to complain anymore. You allowed the state to be ruined because of your fucking stupid politics. All of you Republicans, your whole mindset from 2007 to 2017 was, we're going to outspend them so it costs them more to lose. That was your strategy. That's why you lost. My God. So none of you get a chance or have the opportunity or even are allowed to bitch about politics in Washington state. There was a number of us that warned all of you. And the stuff you're seeing right now, this is the last bit of your civil liberties they're going to take away before they turn it into a communist state. And it's not going to be Bob Ferguson that saves you. He's not a conservative. He's not a moderate. He knows that the moment he signs the one order that's going to turn that state communist, his life is over. He knows it. He's treading on thin water right now because he knows that the fight from Eastern Washington is on the horizon. And none of you fucking retard GOP members in Washington state have the first fucking clue what's going on. And you know why I'm pissed off about this? Because one of you cunts called me yesterday and were complaining that you can't get anything done in the legislature. I had this conversation with the GOP leadership in Washington for fucking 10 years. I'm done listening to you people. You're a bunch of morons. You should have taken Jay Inslee out and impeached that motherfucker in first year, and none of you did. None of you had the balls to do it. God, it pisses me off. Seattle used to be such an amazing place to live. It used to be such a cool place in the summertime. Best flying weather ever. It was the best kept secret ever. You could fly anywhere in Washington State in the summertime and it was cold, dense air, not a ripple in the sky. I flew all the way across the state in July of 2014. Yeah, it was 2014. I flew from my hangar at Painfield over to Spokane. And it was like, I don't know, two and a half hours. And it was the calmest air I've ever flown in. And it was picturesque and beautiful all the way across. I used to fly to the San Juans. Fantastic. Lots of businesses, lots of restaurants. You could fly up there, walk to downtown on Friday Harbor. There's 10 restaurants. You could have a really good meal, walk back to your airplane, 25 minutes, you're back home. And it was an amazing place. And now it's a liberal, toxic shithole full of blue-haired retards that have no idea what they're mad about. It's retarded. And it's all because the Republicans in Washington State didn't have enough of a dick to go do what was right in the legislature. And they didn't invoke any, like, how many sheriffs? Like Lauren Culp. Here's my problem with Lauren Culp. I'm going to call this fucker out too. Because this blowhard dumbass, he was a sheriff. All he had to do was literally go and deputize people and go to any precinct in his area, in his county, and do a cursory investigation of the mail-in ballots. And he would have had him in 2007 and 2008. He would have had him. But instead he goes and he runs his mouth and runs his whole thing. And then he talks about how they cheated after he lost. He had the power as a sheriff to investigate that while he was in office. And he didn't do a fucking thing about it. That's exactly why they fucking lost. Sorry, I just keep finally looking at the chat. Yeah, you can look up the N numbers that were in certain areas. That's ADS-B. You beacon out from your transponder your altitude, your tail number, and your airspeed. And it tells you where the traffic is around you. So, and you can also look up an N number on the FAA's website, N number lookup. It'll tell you who owns the airplane. It'll tell you what airworthiness status it is, what engine's in it. It'll tell you a lot of things. So anyway, the point I'm trying to make of all this is that they've created a powder keg situation now where it's only going to take one or two things to tip over the entire system. And that's what we're seeing. As this backlash grows, and it's going to grow, especially on the accountability side, and on the vaccine side, and where I think it's going to tip over is on the vaccine side and on the legislation side in a blue state. That's where I think it's going to tip over. How soon that is, who knows? I mean, well, I thought the shit would have tipped over in 2020 and 2022 when they stole the election twice and blatantly said, fuck you, what are you going to do about it? But didn't happen. And I'm past the point of trying to placate all these egos telling me, You can't talk about that. That's we don't want that. We're beyond the point of wanting or not wanting Kinetic to happen. We're at the point where they've tipped the system too far over to where revolution is in. It's inevitable now. We've passed the tipping point. And we did that when Trump started posturing for war with Israel. A war with Israel will cause a revolution in this country. I guarantee it. Because nobody's going to go fight, or sorry, a war with Iran. Nobody's going to go fight a war with Iran. No one. And the ones that do are not going to live very long. Because we don't have the logistics, the manufacturing, or the raw materials, or the mineral rights to replenish any of the shit that we've sent to Ukraine. And even if we did, and let's just say we send 100,000 drone warriors over there with nothing but drones. it's still going to be a bloodbath because we don't have the logistics to support it. If a bunch of tribesmen in Yemen can stop shipping, what do you think is going to happen when we go into the Persian Gulf? Channelized, small body of water, yeah. I'll take loud, flaming, horrible death for 1,000, Alex. So this is a powder keg that's been created by the same people that brought you Trump the first time and Biden the second time. And my theory a couple of weeks ago, everybody thought I was high with, what if they used Biden to set conditions to bring Trump back so people would accept the control grid? It's starting to look more and more like that's the case. And what I fear the most is that whatever happened in Pennsylvania was a staged event, and it comes out that it was a staged event, because then it will be utter chaos. Because you're going to have a bunch of people that have turned Trump into a disciple, and they are not going to suffer as fools twice. And they are going to be highly disillusioned when they figure out that was a staged event to gain sympathy. And look, I'm not saying that's true. I'm just saying that there's a lot of rumblings about that right now in social media. And again, let me remind everybody, I watch the narratives. I don't give a shit about the main stories or who's doing what or who's fucking who and who's getting fat. I don't care about any of that. I'm watching the narratives that are developing across social media, and I'm trying to discern, is this AI generated, bot generated, algorithm? Is this a group of individuals? Is this a nation state? That's what I'm trying to figure out, right? Those are the things I'm watching, because I can pick out the Chinese narratives. I can pick out the Russian narratives. I can pick out most of the Ukrainian narratives. I can even pick out most of the British MI6 narratives. The ones that are really, really tough are the organic ones that are generated by AI. And I'll tell you, AI has gotten very, very sophisticated when it comes to chat and to posts on social media, especially on Facebook and Instagram. Some of those posts are amazingly real, and people are buying the shit hook, line, and sinker. So I typically watch what's going on in social media for 2 to 3 days to see how stories develop, because usually by day three is when it starts to get really repetitive and you can see where the AI is run out of new material. So it just keeps regurgitating the same conversation. And you'll see after 4 days, you'll see the conversations look almost identical to day one. And they do it across multiple lines of operations. So you see them do that across multiple threads. So there'll be a thread about tariffs. There'll be a thread about the situation in Ukraine. There'll be a thread about the Congress. And then there'll be a thread about some kind of social media influencer or, you know, social media event. They're all the same. The rhetoric's the same, topic's different, but the rhetoric's all the same, and you can pick it out. But you got to really look at enough of it to be able to pick it out. And the narratives I'm seeing right now that are gaining momentum . The first one is, like I said, Trump's base is eroding over no accountability. The second one is the mRNA vaccines and the fact that RFK has not addressed that or fired anybody from the FDA. And the MAHA movement is getting more and more incensed because they're not seeing the action they thought they were going to see. And remember, there's a lot of people that have been working on this vaccine issue for over 20 years. This vaccine issue and the conversation around autism and vaccine effects because of mercury in the vaccine, it's been going on for 20 years. There's people that have been invested in this for 20 years that thought RFK was going to go in and actually make a change. And the fact that he went in and was completely neutered by Big Pharma, that is not sitting well with his base. So that backlash is going to start to grow and grow and grow until it finally turns into some kind of kinetic action. Because look, there's only so much conversation before you turn to violence. And if you go back to the Revolutionary War, what started the Boston Tea Party? Was it commerce or was it taxation? It was taxation. And that taxation is what drove people over the edge. And it is the best way to say it is they hit the point where they couldn't live in the system. It was more painful to live in the system than it was than it was to pick up arms. And if you haven't done it lately, I would spend some time this week reading the Declaration of Independence. I know it's an old document, but it's under attack right now. And it is let's put it this way. I ground myself. And I do that by reading the Federalist Papers or the Constitution of the Declaration of Independence. Why? Because it reminds me of what our forefathers went through and how they thought ahead to realize the document would change over time. And that this quote everybody should memorize. The history of the present king of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of absolute tyranny over these states. Ask yourself, has that changed? Is it our moral obligation to throw that tyranny off? I remind myself of that every single day. By the way, we don't talk like that anymore, which is too bad because great. Those guys were great writers. Great writers. Anyway, I'm going to wrap this up. Don't shift your eyeline. Don't get caught up in the flavor of the day, the story of the day. Pay attention to the stuff that matters. And right now, the only thing that matters is accountability. And accountability for all the players involved in the treason that we watched happen from 2016 all the way to now. I'm going to go all the way back to 2001 and even before. Do I expect any arrests? No. What I expect next is people to go off the reservation. That's what I expect next. And I'm surprised it hasn't happened with some of these protests because, yeah, I don't know if you're watching the crowd, but in addition to the paid protesters, there's a lot of believers there. And these people are off the hook. They are completely unhinged. I'm just surprised they haven't turned violent. But you know, stranger things have happened. So keep your eye line. Don't shift to the flavor of the day. Let's see how the next few days develop. I'll probably be back tomorrow and do a short update. I'm going to try and do short updates every day. I may just do a situation update and push it to Rumble. So stay tuned. God bless everyone. One team, one fight.